We're about to take a journey, a 40-day journey that we call Lent. Some of us are more familiar with taking literal journeys. Mary's preparing a few days to take a journey west. You pretty much know where that is these days.
Nebraska, right?
Yeah, right, Nebraska, of course. Where else do you go? And many of us, as we travel, we tend to take luggage. Our neighbors across the street, who travel quite a bit as well, in fact, they're in Jamaica right now, usually when they see us leave for a journey, they're amazed at how little we are taking. I like to take along one suitcase that I can put in the overhead bin and a briefcase. And that's pretty much how Mary travels as well. But our neighbors have a different philosophy. Mostly they're driving when they travel, although they do take vacations where they fly. But they like to be prepared for anything. And so they take a lot of stuff. At least a couple suitcases each. Well, we are about to journey on this trip, this path we are calling Lent, an opportunity for us to journey with Jesus through the 40 years or through the years of his life, and these 40 days in which we remember his life and his death. Our gospel text is really preparing us this morning for Jesus' preparation for ministry. He is getting ready for his public ministry, Jesus is. And even more than that, Mark is getting ready to tell us the story of Jesus' life here in the beginning, the first chapter of Mark. We find elements of preparation, of getting ready for the journey, throughout the passage, beginning in Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 3, where we have the familiar words, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist attempts to get people ready for the promised kingdom by preaching a baptism of repentance. He advised people of what was to come. He says, I've baptized you with this water here in the Jordan, but there's one that will come after me who will baptize you with not just water, but with the Spirit, his own Spirit. And John then exhorts his listeners to get ready for the promised one by turning away from evil and being baptized into a new life, preparing them cells for the dawning of the kingdom of God. And Jesus himself then, there in Mark's gospel, along with the other gospels, himself enters into the water and prepares himself with baptism. There in this holy moment when the Spirit descends on him, and he hears, we don't know if anyone else hears it, but Jesus hears these reassuring words of being the beloved of God. Something that likely Jesus carries with him throughout his ministry, especially in those hard times. And then things quickly turn. The same Spirit that descended on Jesus as a dove suddenly becomes, you might say, a hawk. And John uses the language, drove Jesus out into the wilderness, into the desert. Now, Mark's details are very sparse, like the whole Gospel of Mark, a relatively short gospel. And we don't learn a whole lot from what happened in the desert from Mark's gospel. If we look just at Mark's gospel, we know there are a couple of things. There were wild beasts there, and there were angels there. It's important to remember, I think, these angels that we hear about on this first Sunday of Lent, they're easy in this text to overlook. In fact, they usually are, because if you do any kind of internet search on this particular text, you're likely going to hear about repentance, you're going to hear about temptation, but probably aren't going to be referred to the angels. I'll be honest, when I looked at this text the first time, the thing that drew my attention were the wild beasts. Thinking about all the things that are formidable and frightening in the wilderness of our own journeys of life. And yet, Mark, remarkably, remembers the angels here as well. It's this lean, sparse gospel of Mark where he could have included other things but chose to mention the angels in this lonely 40-day sojourn of Jesus in the wilderness. Luke leaves out the angels entirely in this text and telling of this story. And in Matthew's Gospels, the angels only show up at the very end. But in Mark, it appears that the angels are with Jesus all the time throughout those 40 days. And it's not as though Mark, or the Gospel of Mark, has a thing for angels. He doesn't. In fact, others often, other than this story about Jesus in the wilderness, angels seldom show up in Mark's gospel. Unlike Luke's gospel, Mark records no encounters between Mary and the angel Gabriel, nor any angelic appearance to the shepherds. They're not even included. Mark leaves out Matthew's angel telling Joseph not to be afraid, to take Mary as his wife, or whispering in his ear to take the family and flee to Egypt. In Mark, there's no angels who strengthens Jesus in Gethsemane. So when Mark does include angels helping Jesus here in the wilderness, I think we ought to pay attention, to take note. So we don't disregard the temptations or whatever that involved for Jesus there in the 40 days or for us in our journey, nor does it negate Lent's call to repentance, to acknowledge our own temptations and our own wrestling with whatever wild beasts confront us. Certainly we need to be honest. This is the time of the year for us, the church, to get honest about ourselves and our world, to face the wilderness of our own existence and to acknowledge the beasts that surround us and that surrounded Jesus in the desert. Lent is a time to do that. A couple of years ago, I think it was, our grandson Will's favorite children's story was Where the Wild Beasts Are. You know that storybook? It's about a little boy who in the dark of night is confronted by the scariest, ugliest creatures that one can imagine. The book is about him eventually confronting the beasts and befriending them. In fact, that Halloween then, after Will was so fascinated with this book, he wanted on Halloween to be a wild thing. So his grandma made a wild thing costume. And he went about on Halloween wearing this scariest, cutest little wild thing costume. Most of us are adults and we're no longer afraid of the dark. Or are we? Maybe it's time for us to be honest in this Lenten season that there are things that scare us in the dark and the light. There are wild beasts that seem to be ever present. A scary medical diagnosis. The changes that come to our aging bodies. The threat of our planet with ever-growing concerns from our scientists about global climate change. The growing anti-democracy movement in our country that will surely impact our fall elections. And the ever-present danger of nuclear madness, not to mention the fear of natural disasters or accidents that might befall us or our loved ones. And we could go on and on and on and on. One commentator, as I was preparing this, pointed out, though, that throughout the scriptures, the wild beasts that appear in a variety of books in this library that we call our Bible were the powers of the day, the literal political powers of the day. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, then the Romans, eventually the Crusaders, the Nazis, the wild beasts of our own country, of slavery, of patriarchy, the wild beasts that play lip service to Christian faith but wage war against any perceived enemy. So in our Lenten journey, we consider the wild beasts of our personal lives and the wild beasts of the principalities and powers that permeate all aspects of our lives, including the church. But during this Lenten journey, we also take time to remember the angels. And we hold that in juxtaposition, intention, that is so much important part of our faith journey, always holding together these paradoxes. To remember, as Mark does, that those angels were there with the wild beasts in the wilderness. Lent can be a time for us to take stock of our lives, to come clean about the things that tempt us and the things that scare us. Part of our Lenten discipline also can be acknowledging, in the words of the old prayer, the harm that we have done and the good that we have left undone. Or as in the words of step 10 of the 12-step program, doing that fearless moral inventory. But I also invite us in this Lenten inventory to take account of the angels that we have known and loved, and who have loved us, and who have been with us in the wilderness of our journeys. Those angels that have shown up when we are tired and thirsty and surrounded by wild beasts, just as Jesus was. Now, our wilderness angels probably don't look like we think angels should, whatever we think angels should look like. No long white robes, if we believe that, or rustling wings, or clouds. They more likely resemble our memories of an elementary school teacher who believed in us when we were unable to believe in ourselves, or a coach who gave us a chance to play even if we weren't very good. Or maybe one of those angels is a colleague who had your back during a rough time in work, or someone who stood with you during the death of a relationship or a spouse. Sometimes our wilderness angels are people who accept our apologies when we've hurt them or others. And sometimes our angels are simply the people who are willing to walk with us into the wilderness of our own lives, who accompany us, not trying to fix us or change us, but just walk with us and love us. Maybe in our sharing time this morning, you might want to just think about and identify and perhaps name aloud some of those angels. Or perhaps you want to name a wild beast for you. This week, this past week, in the last 10 days or so, angels for my sister-in-law wore scrubs in the hospital. For she had, a number of years ago, a kidney transplant, immunocompromised, and got COVID recently. It turned into COVID pneumonia, and then blood clots in her lungs. The wild beasts of COVID nearly did her in, but thank God she's recovering. Yes, the wild beast of COVID continues with us today, but so do the angels who bring healing, who bring compassion, who walk alongside. Sometimes all they can do is provide a shoulder to cry on. Yes, Lent begins with Jesus' 40 days journey in the wilderness, where according to Mark, he was tempted by Satan and the wild beasts were with him, and so were the angels. Let's remember. Mark remembers. We do well to remember too, and to notice. Because even in the wilderness, according to Mark, the angels have the last word. May that be true for us too in our wilderness journey this Lent. Amen.